you can't base your self-worth on three people who are deciding if you're good or not.
Yeah.
You know, like, they have an opinion. But I did get some messages from my opponent's side just kind of reminding me, you deserve to.
This is Take Two.
Blah, blah, blah.
Do I have to do that as well?
Yeah, in that tune. In that specific tune as well. Did you ever try singing before? Like, were you a musical child?
Yeah, I used to sing in pubs.
No way. Yeah. Like, how old?
I was 16, 17.
That's not like a child.
No, it's not like a child.
Like, but I'm too young to be drinking. With your guitar,
yeah.
Galway Girls style?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No way. Were you like a belter kind of singer?
No, I wasn't really a great singer.
Were you a better like musician sort of?
Yeah.
Why did you stop the music? So,
if that was your thing. Why did I stop the music? The music was like a part of my ex-boyfriend's thing, you know?
And even I was 16?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, so he was into music. I got really into music. When we split up, I left the music.
Mm.
And then I got into other things.
Yeah. You're from Tip, right?
Yeah.
Was it like Irish upbringing and all that kind of stuff, or like stereotypical upbringing, like musical?
Not really. No
sports?
No,
neither. You were doing like nothing as a child?
So not as a child.
they let you run fields and stuff like that?
Yeah, we used to race cars in fields.
There you go. Yeah. That's what it was meant to be like and stuff. How long have you been doing Muay Thai for, actually?
4 years. 5 years. Nearly between
five.
Four and 5 years.
Nearly
yeah.
five.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were a beautician before that?
I was, yeah. Yeah. I know, it's crazy.
I was taking mental notes this whole time, dude.
Everyone thinks it's so weird that
it's
I was a
beautician. It's so weird. Look, it's not weird, and that's what we're gonna like dive into, is that it's not weird what you were doing before that now you're doing sports. But it's quite cool how your life did go like a full 360
mm-hmm.
from beauty shit
mm-hmm. yeah.
to kick me as hard mm-hmm. as you can and I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. Like the beauty stuff was really like, it was what I was expected to do.
Mm. Yeah.
And I had to do it. Well, it's not that I had to do it, but it was like,
presented
this is you. You're a girl, you're meant to do this. And kind like, of accepted it for a while.
Obey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like you felt like you had to obey like in
the
terms of like being a woman in that regard. Or mm-hmm. like that's too hard and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What was, let's say, I'm assuming, was it as well like with a boyfriend where you started out Muay Thai or something?
No. I started out, I was completely on my own. Okay. I was just.
So was that the first activity?
That was the first thing I did that was mine.
Crazy.
Yeah, that was the first thing that was mine. And that's why it's such a big deal to me. It is like my thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's nobody else's. I used to say when I started, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a boyfriend who's a great fighter, who's this, who's that. And then about 2 years in, I kind of stopped and I just thought to myself, I'll be the fighter.
Mm.
And whatever the boyfriend is, if there's a boyfriend, they can be whatever they are. But yeah. I'll be the fighter. I'll be the one that's fine.
Were you always like eyeing a martial art in that regard? Was it always like fighting at the back of your head?
No.
Then how the fuck did you stumble upon Muay Thai?
I started it. I got out of a really bad relationship.
Where?
26.
Okay.
So I was in a relationship. It was quite abusive. It was pretty bad. It was I was always made feel weak and feel worthless. So it kind of became this thing, whereas I didn't really have much interest in fighting. I didn't have much interest in martial arts. I just kind of was like, you know what? I'm going to prove I'm not weak. And the longer I stayed in it, waiting to prove I wasn't weak, it just became something I just had to do the whole time. By the time I had fought, it wasn't a case of, I just want to fight and get out. Mm. It was like, I want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
But initially it was like I wanted to have a fight and I wanted to go just to prove I could do it, and then I was gone.
And you actually had a long wait before you started fighting. Mm-hmm. You had 4 years of just...
Yeah. It was about 4 years, yeah.
I'm assuming COVID had quite a role in that.
Mm-hmm.
So probably your fight would have been sooner.
My fight would have been sooner, yeah. Only
but
for COVID.
When was it? Like 2020, were you 2 years in or just 1 year in? when you say
2020? I think it was about 2 years in.
2 years in, yeah. That's still quite a bit. Did you? So you sort of had the plan of like, one day I'll fight and I'll prove him wrong, and then it's just like I got a kick for it. Like this is more than that.
Yeah.
What was your first fight like?
It was traumatic. It was very traumatic. There was a huge weight difference. You kind of have to accept the weight difference. If you want to do it, you have to accept the weight difference sometimes. I think there was like maybe at least 5 kilos difference. It could have been a bit more.
How many kilos are you walking at for people?
Like I was about 50 kilos and we weighed in. Well, she weighed in at 54. Mm. So whatever she was after that, she might have been 55. She could have been 56. So we don't really know. Yeah, it was a really traumatic fight. It was it wasn't anything what I was expecting it to be like.
What were you expecting?
I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting that. Like I had never been hit in my life. Like growing up or, you know, playing with friends or anything. Like, I have two brothers. Nobody ever hit me.
Yeah.
Nobody ever hit me. I was like the little...
Like the protector.
Yes, I was, yeah. And nobody had ever hit me before. And that was the first time somebody hit me.
Because it's different. A lot of people think that like punching bags and doing pads is different to sparring. Sparring is different to a real fight.
Yeah, it's very like, different, yeah.
I am going to win this. I'm going to annihilate you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you scared going into it? Yeah. Like the prep? You were like,
I was very confident. I was very confident in myself. And I was so excited to do it. So, but now I get nervous before a fight, but then I didn't get nervous.
Crazy. What was that like considering, because this is a really interesting chat actually, and I want to talk about it. Considering that your intention was to prove someone wrong or somewhat prove yourself wrong, right? And or right. You go in, you had a fight, it didn't turn out your way. What was the initial feeling like? Was there a conflict within your mindset of, holy shit, is that person right? I'm not doing this again. Like, did you go into your shell?
Kind of. Mm. But more so, I kind of just thought, okay, that wasn't my time. I have to prove it again.
Were you always patient, though?
No, I go back and forth between wanting to quit and wanting to stay at it. But, like, it was really because, like, I can't let it fail. I have to at least, I have to have some success.
Yeah.
I couldn't let it fail. So I just went back in again.
Went back in. And how many fights since then?
Only 9 fights since then.
Only 9?
Yeah.
In a year, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, only 9.
Now, we were actually chatting a little bit about your record when it was... You rarely won and you mostly lost.
Mm-hmm.
And as you just said there, you constantly go back and forth between wanting to quit and actually staying around. What is that driving force, Niamh, that just fucking says like, no, one more. No, let's fucking keep going. Because people, once they lose, they give up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they keep going, but once they lose more than a few times, they're like, maybe this is not for me.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know that this is for you?
I don't know how I know it's for me. I think a lot of it is like an addiction.
Mm.
More so than anything else. It can be like, if I stop, I don't have the stress of the fight. But what do I do with myself? Like, what do I do with my life? What is my life if I don't have this? So I go back and forth between them all the time. Like, I want to quit, but what else do I have? So I have to keep going. And I have to keep going even though I do want to quit, you know, that kind of way. So it's back and forth all the time. Like, there's negatives to everything that I want to do, and there's a lot of positives to everything as well. So it's I do go back and forth. I don't know what makes me want to keep going. Apart from, I'd say, the addiction. Like, I like being in there. I like the fight. I like the fight, and I like the day after the fight when I get to eat and enjoy my fight. Like, enjoy the results of the fight. Yeah.
What helped you embrace the negatives?
Like the loss.
Or the tough parts.
I guess you kind of learn after a certain amount of time that your team is always your team. And they do stand behind you even when you lose. In the beginning, it's kind of hard to lose because you're afraid to disappoint them, you're afraid to upset them. But then eventually, your losses, all your losses are theirs as well, and everyone comes together, and it's a lovely feeling, really. So even though you're losing, you're not losing alone. Yeah, so like having the team around you really, really does help.
What do you think the reason is for so little women signing up to such things as, like, let's leave it generic, martial arts related, MMA, Muay Thai? Why is it that so few women actually sign up and compete?
Definitely they can probably feel like they are not good enough to try. They might be told, they might have been spending a lot of time being told that they're too small, that they're too feminine, that they're too fragile, that they're too, getting on a rant about it and thinking of all the names I was called. Another thing I was called was I was too broken. My body is too fragile, too small.
Sorry, that dude sounds like an absolute ass face.
Yeah. So I always remember broken. That was one of the words I always remember him describing me as. And when you're very small and you're coming into this place where everyone is very big, like everyone is going to be much bigger than you,
you're strong.
It can be reinforced daily. You're broken. You're a broken person every single day. Because you don't see the results until you manage to fight somebody your own size. And out of my 10 fights, I fought at my own weight twice. So I think that's something that keeps people away a lot, is that they're told that they can't do it. And they're just like, okay, well, then I better not try. And I think as well, a lot of it is for women, you're kind of, you as a woman, your job is to have children, and it's something that people are kind of brought up to believe that your one job is to have children, and if you fail at this one job, you can't do these manly things, like this isn't for you, your job is here, and if you fail at it, too bad, you don't get to go to the other side. And there's a time issue. When you're in your 20s, it's fine, you can fight away and it's great. But when you start getting to your late 20s, early 30s, there is a lot of pressure. You have to be the woman that you are meant to be. You're meant to be the mother. You're meant to be the wife. You're meant to be the chef for the fighter who needs their meals prepared for them. You're not really allowed to do both of them. And then there's also, I think, this pressure of if you pursue one or the other, you're completely losing out on another side of it, that if you try and commit to a fighting career, you might be losing a lot. You might not get the fighting career or the family. And that is a huge, huge thing. And I don't know if that's why we don't see a lot of pro fighters. They tend to stop quite soon on, and I don't know if that's why, but that's something that's always on my mind. Will I stop or will I stay going? If I stay going, am I wasting my time? And it's constant, just thinking like that.
That's a fucking dilemma.
It is, yeah.
Yeah,
it is,
it's a massive dilemma, because both are equally important to one person, you know, and the individual. And it's shit that the sacrifice has to be made, and it's the woman, like, obviously it's the natural body, like dudes aren't gonna go get pregnant now, so it's a fucking tough situation. I've seen it happen so often, of either women just walking away to get pregnant and then coming back, for instance, but then you also have to time it right. Especially, it's one thing as a team sport level and you're an amateur fighter or that sort of thing, but when you're pro, it's a different story. You know, there have been women that bounced back, but I've never seen it.
My last opponent, actually, she just had two kids over COVID. When we got into the ring, there was lads yelling, pull her hair. And for a woman that just had two kids and she's going pro, you know, like, that fight wasn't a joke to her. It was a joke to the people in the crowd, but it wasn't a joke to her and it wasn't a joke to me.
Mm.
And just to hear those kind of things. And then from my side, I've sacrificed a lot to be able to fight. I've there's a lot I've missed out on to be able to fight. And then hearing pull her hair as if I'm a joke, it was really, really hard. It was hard to hear that.
Yeah. I don't know how the fuck you deal with that stuff. I would probably burst out crying, I'll be honest with you.
I didn't hear it at the time.
You hear it when you heard it back afterwards. Yeah. But it's so difficult to just... I think it's also, especially if you're there, like the audacity to say that while you're there, when you can actually see fighters get into the ring to the point where you don't even have the balls to stand up and read out of a paper into a microphone, most likely,
yeah.
let alone fight someone and publicly win or fail. You never know where it's going to go. I wish that sometimes, like, the way to fix these things is proper security or something where, like, you just humiliate them. Stand up, get the fuck
out. I was trying to figure out who they were. I was zooming in on my pictures. I was zooming in on my pictures, like, I see his face.
It's not gonna, unless you report it to the effect, like, it's gonna be like, no, that wasn't me. Assholes.
Nothing's gonna happen.
But I think it's more just like for the next time reporting it. Sometimes virality as well helps with social media of just like, there you go, that's the crack. Do better next time. In saying that though, because I want to stay on topic, besides the concept of the dilemma, not that you're facing, I'm not going to like assume it's you with choosing between which path to take as a pro fighter, but what else have you sacrificed in order to become a pro fighter?
You sacrifice money. That is a big one. You have to deal with like having no money. Like, I train more than I work. So, you know, I don't have the income of like a full-time job. So, you do sacrifice that a lot. And, you know, you don't really get to, I don't know.
Like enjoy fights and stuff. Like, yeah, look, there's money. There's obviously time with friends, probably.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. I think it's even freedom. You're tied down. It's interesting. Sometimes I question, not why, but fucking hell, man, it's Muay Thai, you know? Like, where is a pro career in Muay Thai going to take you? Financially, like, is there like
there's like actually the champs a lot of
that rain is like, what do they do?
There's a lot of argument actually. I was only thinking about this the other day about what is considered a pro fighter. There would be a lot of people that say C class is not a pro fighter.
What is C class?
C class is where I am.
Okay.
So like you go from amateur, you go to C class, you go to B class, and then you go to A class. So you add little things in every time. So you're C class. It's just no protection. So you've no protection on your shins. You've small, tiny little gloves, but you're not allowed to elbow people and you're not allowed to knee people in the face. You go to B class, you're allowed to knee people in the face. You go to A class, you're allowed to elbow people. So there's like a new little rule every single time. But there is the argument that C class and B class are not pro, which I have a huge issue with. I really, really do. Because this is my life. It's not just like I'm doing it after work. I wake up and I train and I go work in a gym where I do my training on the side for fights. And then I leave my job at the gym and I go to another gym and I do more training for my fights. So people are like, that's not pro. But then I know people at A class who fight twice a year and they're a full-time plumber and they're pro. Yeah.
And what's that? Why? What happened there?
Because they do an elbow. They're allowed to do elbows. So
can you just decide to do an elbow?
yes, you can. But I want the practice. I want the C, I want the B, I want the A. I want to go up like that. But like all my income comes from the fact that I do Thai boxing. Like I don't have a like a like a separate job on the side where I do like eyebrows.
Maybe open up a salon before. Yeah. Beauty for fighters.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. But all my income is from people watching me fight. They'll ask for a PT, or I'll get a job at a gym where I teach a boxer size class. And I know it's not directly connected, but I got these jobs because I'm a fighter. So all my income really does come from my fighting, really.
I get you.
But then people can consider me not professional. Whereas some people at A-class might be a carpenter, they might work in IT full time, and they'll fight twice a year, but it's okay for them to be pro.
Do they have bigger prize money and stuff?
Slightly. Okay. But even at A-class, you're not going to earn enough to live on.
Yeah.
Like, I currently get about €50 a fight. That's how much I get. A-class, you wouldn't get a whole lot more. Like, you're doing two fights a year, probably. You might get 500 per fight. Probably less.
Jesus. That's it. That's...
So you can't live off it. So if you're talking about professional, as in you can live off your fighting.
Yeah.
None of us are professional.
Would you ever consider maybe toying with MMA just to get more money?
No, I wouldn't, no. People always ask this question.
€50 per fight, dude.
You do it for the love of it.
But I completely get that. And like, I want, let's dive into it. But like, I'm not saying I'm a practical person, but weirdly enough, I've had guests sit on that chair and we've discussed the fact that in order for you, not even to succeed, right? But for you to see like growth and leverage in what you want to do in life, sometimes you need to give up the financial side, like the financial security, because like your back's against the wall, it's all or nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm either going to be fucking homeless or go broke or that.
Yeah.
How the fuck are you so, not even comfortable, but how did you decide, you know what, €50 per fight, is it for me? Was it because of the safety net that you knew, okay, I could land a few PT clients?
Kind of
like a self-employed mindset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, I don't really, when you start off in Thai, like you're not going to, like you're not expecting to get money.
Mm.
Like when you fight at an amateur level, you get zero anyway. So you either do it because you want to do it, or you just have to stop. Like if you're doing it for the money, you're not going to want to do it. Yeah.
Literally.
It's not about the money. That's why professional fighters at the highest level, especially here in Ireland, they all have jobs. They all have full-time jobs. Nobody is living off of being a fighter.
Mm.
Unless you're like Liam Harrison or someone really, really high level, you're not living off of it. So.
Fair play to you.
Yeah.
Honestly, ballsy move. Ballsy move. So.
You do it for the love. You do it for the love of it, as they all say.
As in, like, I do this for free, you know? So like, I completely get it. I'm not getting €50 per episode, but I do get you, and it's quite impressive in saying that. Now, I want to jump back on the dick holes that were saying pull her hair.
Yeah.
And you, not your last fight where you won and you knocked her out, in fairness, like fair play, but I also know she was a very good competitor.
Oh, she was brilliant.
And
she was really good.
She was amazing, yeah. So it's not like, no shade to her.
Mm-hmm.
In fairness, fair play to you. The one before, your first pro debut, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What fucking message did you receive in your inbox?
Spill the beans. I did get some interesting messages.
Okay. Let's give them a bit of context, though. What happened at that fight or during that?
Well, I just have to be very careful. I don't want to upset anyone, you know? It was a really, really good fight. So if anyone has watched me fight, they know I'm a clinch fighter, and a clinch fighter is a close range fighter. I'm short, that's why I'm a close range fighter. Because I can't do anything on the outside. So I'm a close range fighter, and I was very, very strong. I was so dominant. It was 5 rounds, completely close range clinch, which I just did an incredible job at. And I was given a loss. I was given a unanimous loss, Which is fine, because you can't base your self-worth on three people who are deciding if you're good or not.
Yeah.
You know, like, they have an opinion. Maybe they didn't like close range clinch. Like, that's completely fine. Like, that's somebody's, you know, that's their opinion, and that's completely fine. But I did get some messages from my opponent's side just kind of reminding me, you deserve to lose because you're shit. not in those words, but it was just like, I was told I wasn't skilled. I was told I only did 5 kicks. Keeping in mind, I'm a close range fighter. I'm not a, well, I am a good kicker, but I don't rely on kicks. Kicks aren't my thing. Knees are my thing. And so I could have probably done maybe 30 knees per round, but because I only did 5 kicks, I wasn't skilled. And that was really, really hard to read. It was so hard to read because, like, it was my first one, and, like, yeah, I was a bit nervous kicking, like, I was a bit worried, as you are when you're fine. I was really proud of myself when I came out, and then to kind of read that, I started thinking maybe I am shit. Like, maybe a clinch fighter isn't a good idea. Maybe I should have done more kicks. And, you know, it was just, I spent all of Christmas just crying and so upset. And, but I think it was good in a way, because it gave me a bit more focus for the next one. I took the next one very seriously. I took the next one more seriously than I've taken anything. And, yeah, I think it was good, but it was hard to see, and it was surprising to see that, because here in Ireland, like, the sport is so small, everyone knows each other, the coaches all know each other. So in the UK, it's kind of different. You wouldn't know every single coach. So to kind of have that from a UK coach to tell me I'm shit after I traveled all the way over, paid for my own flights, pay for my own hotel to come over and do this, just to be told you're shit, it was really, really hard.
Yeah, literally. No, I think it's just one of those things where you're left speechless. You open up your phone, you see that message, mm-hmm. and your heart fucking sinks.
Yeah.
And it's tough, right? Because sometimes you go, that's character development. Mm-hmm. You're meant to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more just embarrassing from the other side of it, where not you, but someone felt the need to put you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Because usually when it comes to sport, everything is said in the ring, in the moment, mm-hmm. afterwards, whatever it may be, like, it's fine. So that is so unsportsmanlike, and that mm-hmm. is not sport.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. not.
Yeah.
They fucking got it so mm-hmm. wrong.
Because if I had contacted every person that beat me,
yeah,
I'd be doing that for a long time.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of losses, and, you know, tough shit. You know, sometimes you lose. You know, you don't have to get upset with people. You don't have to tell people, oh, you shouldn't have won because you only did 4 kicks, you know, like, you know.
Exactly. And I think sometimes people, especially men, feel the need to put a woman in her place mm-hmm. if they feel like she is, first of all, if they think that she is wrong, that's mm-hmm. one thing. Another thing is that if you express the fact that, listen, I don't agree with the decision, it's like, no, you're wrong, and let me belittle you.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's like just the chip on women's shoulders that they need to fucking get hit on and break through extra barriers that men don't need to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to prove yourself as an athlete, as a fighter, as a woman, as a fighter that's fucking less than 50 kilos sometimes. Mm-hmm. There's so much more to do. And you also have to juggle, besides like the travel and all that, you also have to figure out how, like, who you're going to fight next.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, go on a treasure hunt for these fucking women.
I have a list.
You have a list?
I keep a list.
Is it kind of like a hit list?
Yeah. I have a list and I get to tick them off as I go along.
Did you have like a little strategy in place when you're like, okay, I had my first 3 fights. I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to have a hit list and let's fucking go. Like, let's rumble. Or was it just sort of...
I started my list probably after my first fight.
Feck off.
Because, like, I couldn't find anyone.
Mm.
I could not find any women anywhere.
Do you have to, befriend the fighter before you
fight? Sometimes I do. Sometimes there's a few women. There's a Scottish woman. We go back and forth, chatting a bit. And we are going to fight. It's going to be good. because it's not you're not fighting out of anger. Like you're having a bit of fun.
Mm.
And if you're not having fun, then like there's no point in doing it. So yeah, I messaged her and I said, hey, do you want to fight? And she was like, that is the nicest call out I've ever gotten in my life. And now we just chat. Yeah, we just chat. She's a bit heavier than me though.
What's your diet like when you need to gain weight?
I need to gain weight.
Mm.
I'm eating a lot of burgers at the moment.
Yeah.
I am eating a burger every day and getting a pizza every so often as well. It's not good. Like it's you're not meant to do stuff. Because
you're not actually fueled properly. No. That's what I've seen. Like so on and on again. Whenever a fighter wants to gain weight, they're shit in the ring
because they need
some broccoli.
Yeah. I need proper food, and I haven't been eating proper food, but it is. I was 46 kilo 2 weeks ago and I have to be 50 kilo in 2 weeks. So like, I don't really have the time for eating all that chicken. So sometimes I just need to get something quick and
How do you hold that down? Like,
God,
it's shit. It's actually shit. And then do you have to lose weight again for Valkyries?
I will have to lose. I'm fighting at 49 for Valkyries, which is too heavy as well for me. So it was all I could get.
Okay.
So 49 for Valkyries, 50 in 2 weeks. I'll be 50 in 2 weeks, 49 for Valkyries.
Okay, so it's kind of like...
And then I'll be back down to 48, which is what I'd like to be.
Mm.
At the moment, my ideal weight is 46, but that is too light.
That's like a 12-year-old.
Yes, I have fought. There's one woman in Ireland at that weight. I fought her now. I think there's two women in the UK at 46, and I fought one of them, and I will fight one of them during the year. That's it. They're all done.
Would you be able to refight people?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Have you gotten to that stage yet or not yet?
People have this obsession with getting a rematch. I don't like it. Because you're like, you see people getting a rematch after like 2 months, like, what the hell are you like? Why?
Because they're at your weight.
Yeah, but like, do you not want to try and find other people? And then maybe when you're more skilled, go back to this person and see how the two of you have progressed instead of 2 months. Like, 2 months, like,
no, I do agree with you. 2 months, yeah. I do love me a trilogy though.
It's nice, but like, I would rather fight someone at amateur than at C class, than at B class, than at A class. So you can get 4 fights from somebody.
Mm.
Which is all right. I think I like that.
No, I completely get you, but you're also overcomplicating your life.
No. See, you know what as well?
What?
People are always saying, no, it's hard to get fights. It's hard to get fights for women. It is not hard to get fights for women.
Okay. Then
it's not as hard. It's not.
Is it like not many women want to eat burgers and pizza?
No. Not many women want to put in the effort to diet and lose the weight. That's what they're doing. But to find women to fight, I have fought heavier here in Ireland to get those fights. When I go to the UK, we give my weight and we're always told the same thing. Oh, that's a tough weight to match. But I always get the match.
Five kilos because, heavier though.
No.
Oh.
In the UK, the heaviest I fought in the UK was 50.
Okay, that's...
So 46 to 50,
yeah,
which is all right.
Okay.
But those women exist. And if you look them up, you find them. I know that sounds like a bit creepy. But I look them up. I get their weight. I check what fights they've had, what different weights they've had at each fight. I check what gym they're from, everything. I check all their past opponents. So I make a list from my list.
Mm.
Dave contacts these gyms. The coaches of the women gets me that fight.
Mm.
It's not impossible. I just think people don't like putting the effort into it.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I think that's really what it is. I am fighting every single month.
Yeah.
Until September.
And what happens after September?
I'm going to take a rest.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is it 100% certain?
It's not 100% certain that I'll take a rest, but I might take a rest.
Okay.
But the fights are there. If you really want the fights are there.
Mm.
And if you don't want them, the fights aren't there.
Yeah.
So I used to have a lot of sympathy for people that said, oh, I can't get a fight. I can't get a fight. I don't really have that sympathy for people anymore.
Go on, fuck them. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
I used to say stuff like that. Mm. I used to say, oh, I can't, if there's nobody to fight. There's nobody to fight. There will be people to fight if you want to fight them. It might be a bit of a weight difference. It might be an experience difference. But if you want to do it, it's there.
Mm.
And it's not always for people.
I think that's, you can easily apply that to just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think we do tend to overcomplicate things, and humans might want to always take the easier route. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that just ends up being inaction.
Mm-hmm.
And people are okay with that, where it's like, oh no, that's a hassle, that's a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
Too hard, so no, fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also the fear of losing comes into it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a massive thing that I'm so impressed by you.
All my losses. Thank you. I'm very pleased.
No. It's not even about the losses, but the fact that you just fucking own up to them first mm-hmm. and foremost. And also, I think people forget the fact that you are constant, like your weight is fluctuating
mm-hmm.
nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fighting at, like, you're not properly fueled.
No.
That's the thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Eh? So there's a lot there happening, but then you have lost and you have bounced back every time.
Yeah.
And the fear of losing is a lot. Huh? Like,
it is a lot.
It's scary.
It's a lot, but like
you actually took it out of you now.
I don't have any fear of losing.
Yeah,
I don't have any fear of losing.
But did you always not have a fear of losing? I'm assuming yes. for your first fight.
No, I never had a fear of losing.
Because you thought that you were going to win? Or?
Not necessarily. Okay. I thought I was going to do well. Doing well and winning, I don't think of them the same. I always go in, I hope I do well. And there have been times I've come out when I feel like I haven't done well. And that makes me cry. That makes me sad.
Because of the skill, like you yes, were expecting yeah. well to be at.
I wanted
different.
To do, like I might have had something that I wanted to do. And I go in there and I don't do it. That makes me cry.
Got you.
Going in there and if I do the thing that I wanted to do, if I do that thing I was practicing and I lose, I come out really happy. Like losing doesn't bother me. And I think people are really upset about having a loss. And they're upset with, I think they're worried about upsetting their team, upsetting the you know, their coach. But as long as you improve every single fight, your coach can't be upset with you if you improve every single time. Because I took a good few losses and every single time I go in, I come out and I'm better and I can see I'm better. And that is the best thing ever.
How did you cope with a match where you felt like you didn't do well? So you said that
mm-hmm.
those that was you take the, yeah, take yeah. them to heart.
Yeah.
How did you bounce back or return from that? What did you use to help you out?
I don't know. My first fight was the one that I really, really struggled to come back from. Like, it was a good few months where I couldn't eat for a while after it. I got into kind of a depression over it. I couldn't eat. And then I kind of went from not training to overtraining. And I don't really know how I bounced back from it. I don't really know, to be honest. You just have to suck it up and try again, I suppose. Like, there's nothing you can really do other than cry and just feel sorry for yourself for a while and then try and move on, because
it's either that or it's the other end, sort of. Like, mm-hmm. you just have to fucking make a choice at the point in time, mm-hmm. eh?
Yeah.
Oh, losing is so fucking scary to some people.
Yeah.
It's petrifying.
Is it scary to you?
100%.
Yeah?
100%. And I think it's because, like, with me, my childhood was so different, where, like, my self-worth and my worth to other people was based on whether or not I succeeded in sport.
Yeah.
So then whichever sport it may be. But then when it came to like being 18 and my knees falling apart and all that, my not even identity, my only thing that people praised me for or spoke about was gone. Because yeah. Debbie isn't doing sport anymore. Yeah. And I wasn't a good student, weirdly enough. So it was that sort of thing. And when the conditional love was gone, the unconditional love wasn't present.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a fucking difficult thing to cope with. And weirdly enough, and I wish I could go back in time and fix it, it was push sports aside, bring my studies in.
Mm-hmm.
So that was when I was 18. I would have had 3 knee surgeries by the age of 20.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't like go well whatsoever. So I just had to decide, all right, so sports, like, I can't do it anymore. Interestingly enough, when it comes to women as well, rehab, sports rehab had to come out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to pay money to just be on a stationary bike at a physio place.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you're 18, you're 20, you don't have 18 euros a week.
Yeah.
Anyways, besides that, then my studies came in and I just let go of, I pushed this aside. And I think it took me a long time to return to sport without feeling jealous of other athletes.
Yeah.
Because I always went, I'm a, such a fucking spoiled sport, Niamh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if I'm not good, then I'm out. Yeah. I'm out. And I still have it till this day. Mm-hmm. There's only one, no, sorry, I need to fucking rephrase that. But I'm not saying that the reason why I'm still doing this podcast is because I feel like I'm good. I know that I'm not like succeeding significantly. And that's because I started it out from zero. I'm not a celebrity. I'm not an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me to compare myself and my numbers to other people's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think that I'm sticking around because I feel like I am a winner in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't have kept doing it if I saw shitty numbers and felt like I was shit.
Yeah.
And I think that might be reapplied to sport in that regard too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say for you, besides the losses, even if you weren't fighting, if after 4 years of training you were shit, you know, and you weren't showing any improvement, plus like you were the weakest of the class and all that, you probably wouldn't have stuck around.
Probably not, no.
You feel like you're good deep down. And that's why you stay. Like, I have asked it a few times, but I try to like use it carefully, that question. But like, you know, sometimes when people go like, why do you love Muay Thai?
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much that you can say about it. Like, there's so many things. At the end of the day though, it's because you're good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's because it makes you feel good that makes you stick around despite everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you have to be exposed to failure and that's where the growth happens. Paul Brown was sitting in your seat and he said it. You need to fucking lose. Because those that win early on then quit quick.
Yeah, you see, like, because when somebody loses after a lot of wins, it's very hard on their mind, you know? It really is tough.
100%.
So, like we always joke about this in the gym. Like, well, we joke from my point of view saying, oh, I've had loads of losses, I'll be fine.
Mm.
Like that's the joke we make because, like, I'm so good at coping with losing.
Mm.
But sometimes you see people that are just on a winning streak and sometimes you feel nervous for them. Like, what if the day comes? What if today is the day that they don't win? And this will be really, really hard.
It cripples them. It's crippling. And I've seen it even on a team sport. I've seen individual players. They weren't taught how to lose because they were winners from the start.
Yeah.
And a little bit of competition, not competition, because they do thrive in competition, a loss sets them off the edge.
Yeah.
And you know what's also interesting? Sometimes they blame it on other things then.
Yeah.
And that's like where the lessons fail specifically. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you lost and you went, Dave, you know what? You're a shit coach.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't say that. I couldn't say that.
100%. Yeah. You couldn't say that. But it has happened. It has happened. Anyways, so yeah, that's basically it when it comes to losing. But I need to... No, I'm learning. I hope I am anyways. Let's talk about Valkyries though. Because interestingly enough, and that's going to go into our conversation, besides fighting, besides organizing your own fucking travel and assisting yourself in that regard, you're also organizing Ireland's first all-female Muay Thai fight night.
Yes.
What sparked the interest in order to do
that? Well, not that this is going to come as a surprise. I was annoyed I had no opponents. That's how it started out. I was so annoyed I had no opponents. And I just started, when I started going to the UK, you kind of see how they do things there. And there was a woman doing, she's a really, really good fighter. She started a female-only event, I think. She just did her second one. I completely copied her. She just did her second event just last month. But you can kind of see the interest people have in it. Obviously, it's slightly bigger in the UK, so it seems a bit easier for her to get matched and stuff like that. But here it's a little bit tougher, but I'm hoping eventually it will take off. And I think as well, when you look at the kids teams, so... Obviously, right now, there's not a lot of women. We probably won't get a whole load of women until maybe another 5 years when all these kids are after coming up. And it will be like we will have an amazing team. Right now, it's not great, but you see so many kids like 8, 9, 10 years old, and they are just going to be they're just going to blow up. They're just going to be amazing. And it would be so nice for them to have a place in Dublin where they can actually showcase it instead of having to travel, because a lot of the kids are traveling over to the UK. There's a few fights that I know a lot of the gyms are taking their kids over, so it would just be nice to have an event for them.
100%. I think it's also something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In longevity, when you go like, holy shit, I'm going to be on like Valkyries. I'm going
to be yes, I want it to be like that.
Yeah.
I want people to like train all year. Event
or like every 6 months. Yeah. Do you have a specific plan, or are you just going to see what the first one is like and then move accordingly?
Well, I didn't actually think about it. We were just planning to do one every single year. We didn't assume it wasn't going to do well. we were planning to do them every single year. So, like it might take a couple of years for it to take off properly.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll go good. And just to give the women more, just a chance for them to be the center, and they're not like the supporting act. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The undercard.
Yeah. And I always kind of feel that maybe they throw the women on first to get them out of the way, but I was told that's not true. But I always feel like that. So it would just be nice to have like an entire female event. Like every fight is going to be brilliant. Every fight is going to be worth sitting there for. And like that's what we really, really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
We are bringing a few people in from the UK. So we have, I think at the moment, we have 3 female fighters from the UK. My opponent, Abby Moore, is coming over. We have Maddie Dabadi, which I'm very excited about that one. She's only young. She's 15. She is incredible. She is very skilled. I think she has 20 fights behind her. And we have Kira. She's coming over as well. She's actually trained in Hammerhead a few times, so she kind of comes in every now and again. Her family's from Dublin, so when she comes over, she does a bit of training. So we wanted to get her on as well. So there are 3 female fighters from the UK, and hopefully a few more.
That's going to be so exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually can't wait. It's super. Let's talk a little bit about the kids, actually, because they're fucking...
Yeah. I think that might be the best fight.
I'm actually, I'm obviously excited to see you fight on the main card. I'm excited to see the fucking 14, 15-year-olds kick ass.
Yes.
And be like, I am jealous that I'm not you.
Yes, does exactly. That make sense? Yes. I am very jealous as well. they probably have the most fights behind them. So Maddie DeBatty is fighting Olivia from Relentless. They both have about the same amount of fights, like 20 or so fights. I wouldn't like to fight either of them.
No.
So they're really, really skilled. We have a few girls. We have one girl from Hiver. She's got about 30 fights behind her. And I think she could be 11 or something.
Crazy.
Yeah, she's had a lot of fights behind her. So they're the most skilled on the show.
Yeah.
They're
gonna fucking obviously smash
it. Yeah, so like when they are 20, you know, we are gonna have amazing fighters.
In fairness, I know we were talking about the Muay Thai situation in Ireland, but the Irish coaches are really fucking putting everything on the, not even everything on the line, but they're really trying to like take their fighters, male or female, girl or boy, overseas and it's probably because, first of all, there has been a significant rise in the MMA scene in Ireland, thanks to like the likes of Conor McGregor, Paddy Houlihan, and now they want to do it. So there has been a rise in the sport.
Yeah.
And I think the way it's working is, you practice in Muay Thai, you practice jiu-jitsu, you compete in wrestling, so many other things. And then let's combine it and you're going to be the next UFC star.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
But these kids are scary.
Yeah, they are. And they're heavier than me as well. They're fighting at 51, I think.
Yeah.
So it's heavier. I couldn't fight at 51.
Ask them what their nutrition plan is. They're probably just eating
bowls
of cereal in the morning.
Yeah, they're probably just taller than me as well.
Taller?
Yeah.
How tall are you actually?
I'm 5'2".
5'2"?
Yeah.
Am I taller than you or no?
I don't know.
Probably your size. I'm 5'2" then. Yeah. I once tried to say I was 5'3" and the girl literally just went, "You're not 5'3".
That's really rude.
Like, she's like, "I'm 5'3" and I'm taller than you." But I'm like, fuck's sake, lads.
I don't care about being short.
I wish I was taller.
Did we have this conversation before?
I don't know.
And I said, "You're crazy. I don't want to be taller."
Yeah, that
I makes think we sense. Did. We did have this conversation.
No. In fairness, I do think your height suits you, but I think that my character, I do deserve maybe a few inches
to match my character. We have a woman at the gym and she just recently started. She's nearly 6 foot tall.
Feck off.
Yeah, she's tall.
She's
a tall woman.
I know, it's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah. It is impressive.
Do the lads avoid her when they try to spar her?
They try to kill her.
There you go, because of the height.
Yeah, it's because of the height. And then they're just like poking at me, like they're just barely touching me, and they're swinging her around the place, like it's. I don't know.
I think you need to start like training in platforms or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
I jump because I'm a clincher. I will jump on people and I will swing from them anyway. So nobody likes clinching.
Clinch.
Huh?
The clinch sucks ass, man.
That's my favorite part.
No.
I love the clinch.
No, there's so many things that, for those that don't know, clinching is like when you're holding someone tight and just trying to fucking tuck them in like that.
If you want to see clinch, just watch my fight.
Just watch me fight, actually. Yeah, that's so true. So first of all, the person is sweaty and you're holding on to them. You have zero grip because you have gloves on.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, head bashing next to you. Limited sight. Safety outside. You go in, you go out. You don't stay in.
No, staying in.
But like, you're also just like, someone's shoulders is right here. You're kind of looking like over. You're trying, like your eyes are basically closed going, "I hope this hurts, asshole."
No, I like staying in. I'll always stay in.
No.
I love staying in.
No, you find the fucking cracks like. I think that's the benefit of being small.
It's good for being small.
Actually, that's something I want to ask you. Did you say you had two fights where someone was your like weight and height?
Yeah.
What were those matches like?
Pretty much mainly clinch.
Mainly clinch. Was it like similar for them as well, or not really?
I don't really know. I don't really know how they felt. I feel like people don't like clinching me, and I feel like you can kind of tell you're doing really well when you're clinching someone and they start punching you. Because that is a big, big no-no.
Big no-no skill-wise? Like
skill-wise, yeah.
Okay.
So when I'm clinching someone and I can feel them whacking me in the head, I'm like, I'm winning. Yeah. I'm winning, yeah.
Have you had any injuries so far?
I've had one injury from a fight, which was from a demo. So a demo is people like it. It's not technically a fight, but the thing with it is it was full on power, just with where there and there wasn't a winner. There isn't a winner because you agree at the start there won't be a winner. We're just gonna go in. We're gonna have the fight, and no winner.
Why?
The reason why we did this is because there was, I think it was a 4 kilo weight difference. Mm. And my coach was just like, look, you're never going to win that fight. Don't bother trying to win it. Just go in and learn something new.
Okay.
So that's what I did. And I tried something new. I got beaten around the place, but I was so happy because I tried something new.
Which was?
I was trying to use my hands more. I'm not a puncher. I'm not a long range fighter. I was trying to be a bit longer. Didn't work out well. But I got kneed in the side. She was really tall. She kneed me up here close to the armpit. And I was out for about 2 months. But I had a fight. It was a bruise.
Okay.
But it was really painful. And I was out for 2 months, but I had a fight in 2 months. So I had no training at all. And I went into my next fight. Without, like, my cardio was gone, everything was gone, and I was just like, oh, I hope she doesn't knee me in the rib because it's going to be sore. So, yeah, that was my only injury, and it wasn't even technically a fight.
Okay.
But it was a fight because...
Was it worth it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was worth it, yeah.
Yeah, just because you learned more.
Yeah, it's always worth it when you learn something.
Mm. That's the main takeaway.
She probably didn't learn anything from it. So see, and that's the thing. That's the thing. People are like, people always want the easy fight. They want to win. But I want to learn something.
You're like the underdog, Niamh.
I'm the underdog. I kind of love being the underdog.
Yeah. Do you actually have nicknames when it comes to Muay Thai, like in boxing and stuff?
I'm trying to start my nickname, but you know the way you can't give yourself a nickname. Someone has to give you the nickname.
I know, yeah. It's so shit, but you only have one yourself. What do you...
I suggest it to people sometimes, but nobody ever uses it. I want to be known as Knees O'Donoghue.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. What yeah. Do they not like it?
They do, but they're like, ah, that's brilliant. And then nobody ever uses it. So.
Okay, so do they just call you Niamh?
Yeah.
No.
I just want to be called Knees because it's like that's what you're to be afraid of when you're fighting me.
Facts.
Knees.
No, it makes sense. I'll be the Maltese Falcon.
Mm. Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. The Maltese Falcon Show. It's like the least Maltese sounding name that works.
Yeah.
Shall I put Knees? Like in the title of the thing so that we can start it out and stuff?
No.
I don't know, man. I think for Valkyries, you should. It is not bad.
It is bad when you give yourself a nickname.
Yeah, no, that I do agree. But like... We can change it up and I can call you Niamh, just so that it works. I think for Valkyries, you should have it be. Like, are you going to be the last one on the card, like the main card?
Yeah, I'm going to be the main event, but I don't really want to use Knees because what if I go in and I don't use my knees? What if I go in and I get beaten?
You would have just... Look, that's one thing. And like, I think the entire theme of this fucking conversation was how to be okay with losing and winning. But in saying that... I think it should be Niamh knees.
Mm.
What other pitches do they
have? What if I don't get any knees in the fight?
That's okay. You can send a message back to your hater that was in your DMs and say, listen, mate, I gave 10 kicks instead.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
You know, just like...
Oh, I could be 5 kicks O'Donoghue.
5.
I'm going to do that. 5 kicks O'Donoghue.
Yeah, exactly. And then like laugh at the top like in a few years time. I fucking love this chat.
I actually want to be 5 kicks O'Donoghue. I don't want to be Niamh's knees anymore.
Exactly. And then like write a book when you have a rest or something just so that like the grip come back. Mm-hmm. I fucking love this chat. Thank you so much, Niamh. Knees, 5 kicks, whatever you want O'Donoghue. Thank you. And by the way, everyone who's listening, March 25th, 2023, that's the year we're in, watch Valkyries. Or attend. I'll be there as well. You can have a photo with me. I won't be sweaty. There you go. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening/watching. Thank you, Niamh.
Thank you.
Ciao. Bye bye.